Our reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6 and 11 to 16. We're talking about the unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Morning. Now, this is the eighth of our talks on the body of Christ, so hopefully you've heard most of this already. Why don't you turn to your neighbour and say, what do you find helpful or unhelpful about describing church as a body? I mean, does it work for you as a metaphor, as an image of what it means to be church? Perhaps it depends if you're aching at the moment. Well, this is our final sermon in our two-month exploration of what it means to be a church. And we began... I shared some thoughts from a book by Paul Minier, a theologian, who picks out the 96 New Testament images of how the church is described in the New Testament. And some are really attractive, or some are a bit quirky. Hospital for sinners, army of Christ. I mean, there's the list. We looked at that and we voted on which we found helpful or not. I've never really thought of myself as the bride of Christ. I just don't think white works for me. But they're there in Scripture, but some images are more potent or helpful than others. But certainly the image of being the body of Christ, different New Testament writers use it. And actually foundational, of course, is the idea that only Jesus Christ is the head governing our bodies. I suppose that assumes we think our heads govern our bodies. Maybe the jury's out there for some of us, but how are we led? Today, I'm not going to try and cover or summarize everything that we've looked at, but to tease out two thoughts that, for me, work well with this. So as we come to the close, thinking about the body of Christ and working in harmony, what that actually looks like. And I need to tell you, Susan, my wife, has become very enthusiastic about something. I won't ask you to suggest things there. About 1,000-piece jigsaws. Could be worse. She loves them. And it's now the go-to present for our children. don't know what to get mum, and 1,000-piece jigsaws. This is one she did earlier. Now, in a body, each limb and organ knows its purpose instinctively. And so it should also be in a church, Paul reckons. We each want to know our unique gifts and roles. But I think that transposes into the picture or the image of a jigsaw. It's quite obvious. Pieces, sometimes they're the same shape. Have you found that on a jigsaw? If it's cheaply made, actually lots of the pieces are the same shape. They just don't fit in. You can try a hammer and you can just about squeeze it in, but you realise it's not quite meant to be there. Or then you find you've got a final piece and it definitely doesn't fit in there. And it's rather annoying. Where do we fit best, in the body of Christ or in the picture that God is trying to paint through his church? In a jigsaw, it's really obvious when a piece has gone missing. Actually, in the body of Christ, pieces go missing, but we don't always notice. It sort of accidentally happens, and we forget. Whereas on that slide, you can see, oh, I know where that goes. That piece is needed, or we're not complete. The Bible reading talks about being mature, growing up. I'm not very good at that bit. I am so immature. When Susan's coming in to finish a jigsaw, I always hide a piece. I can't help myself. And then she's looking under the sofa, and then in a quiet moment, I just put it in and feel very smug. That's who I am. I'm sorry. But it's so obvious that it's meant to be there. And actually, when Jesus was talking about his own life and calling, vocation and ministry, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus spotted lost people all the time. And he said his calling was to gather them back in, to make them, you know, rejoice with me. And certainly if we find a missing jigsaw piece, we say, rejoice with me, I found the piece that was lost. I'm going to kill a fatted calf and do rejoice. And that's how God feels when people are gathered back into him. It should be in our DNA as well. I want to tell you a story that is not to try and shame anyone from my last parish, but when I got there as a new vicar, I kept looking in some of the old papers, the PCC, the Parochial Church Council, and found a name came up repeatedly. And there was a man who had done so many good things, but he wasn't in church now. And I asked a few people, who's that? Oh, he doesn't come now. And it provoked me because he had done a lot of good things. And eventually, when I could stand it no longer, I went round to see him, and I was sort of chatting in his garden. And then I summoned up the courage to just say, look, I know you used to be so involved in the life of our church. Help me understand, what happened? If someone was rude to you, I'm so sorry, but I know people would love you to come back. And he just stopped and said, I haven't stepped inside the church for 20 years, and you're the first person to come round and ask me. And so I said, I am so sorry. It's not because people don't care. I guess they were just embarrassed or didn't know what to say. And in fact, so many people had told me, oh, I don't know why. Someone else will know. Turns out no one knew. No one had actually spoken to him. And then I understood. But I've tried to communicate, you are loved, you are missed. But he hadn't really felt it. So that happens actually in every human organization across the world, all the time. It happens in every church. There are people going missing, and we sort of don't notice it. Or we notice it and think, someone else will know better than me. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And everyone not saying the wrong thing adds up to someone not feeling very loved or missed. And so that wasn't a failure to care, because people did care. It was a failure, I think, of courage to just go out and say, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I'd love to know what's going on for you. And can I say, with utmost seriousness, if you notice someone from your life group or your church family who's not there, in Jesus' name, do something. Because you were the person who had the eyes and the heart to notice. And if you think, oh, this is so beyond my pay grade, I couldn't possibly do that, and you feel really a member of clergy needs to go around, then please just speak to Mary. And she'll done with that. No, speak to any of us. Of course we would do that. But actually, I think it's much better if you do it, because you were the jigsaw piece closest that noticed and bothered. And that communicates love. Or you think of someone and you just pick up the phone or send a text or a message, and it makes a difference. Paul writes in Romans 12, though we are many, we form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. Paul writes, you are not your own, you were bought at a price. We belong to one another. That's a funny word, really, belong. We each matter, but actually the picture isn't revealed. If that's all you had to go on and guess the picture, it would be a struggle, wouldn't it? If people are looking at me and thinking, what does it mean to be a Christian? They'll have a struggle. If they see all of us being our different shapes and personalities, but responding authentically to Jesus, they'll get a much better picture of what being a Christian, what church is about. But we belong to one another. It's something someone might ask you. Which church do you belong to? Belonging to church. That's quite different from saying, oh, St. Francis, that's my church. It's the other way around. You belong to the church. We don't normally think of it like that. There's mutual accountability within that. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. So we need the complicated diversity of all of us together to make up what Jesus is like, what the kingdom of God is like. Today, so many people struggle with their own sense of identity. And actually, individual identity is usually revealed in relationship. It's when we're relating closely to others, we discover our gifts and calling and what we're good at. And this shouldn't be a surprise to Christians, because, I mean, Christians, we believe so many impossible things. I sometimes think this is the greatest proof of the faith. We believe more impossible things than any other faith group, I think. But at the heart, the most central doctrine is the Trinity. And I used to think as a child, well, God the Father has always been there. And then Jesus was born. God the Father became a dad. And then later on, the Holy Spirit was born. But actually, that's not it at all. There's never been a time when God has not been Father, Son, and Spirit. It's his essential, eternal, self-existent, amazing being. He's known who he is, or she is, or God is, in his very essence from all eternity. And it's about being in relationship. And the more we drift off from close relationships, we actually lose our own sense of identity too. So being really committed to a church, most of us find, is a nightmare. Let's be honest. It's hard work, but it is actually essential for our own mental health and well-being, because we're called into close relationships, as well as in families and workplaces and all sorts of places as well. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So there's people sitting next to you in church. They, like a jigsaw piece, tessellate with you, and they're nothing like you. They might be a little bit strange, like you. And that's the deal, like in a human family. You know, everyone seems normal till you get to know them. And then their true likeness is revealed. That's how it is in a church. But that's the good stuff. It's not to be avoided or ashamed. It's a function of getting to know one another better. And so God has chosen to place people next to us, some of whom we find really easy and others we don't. And that's irrelevant. It's part of growing together as the family, as the people of God. So we don't choose the pieces God puts next to us. We just choose how will we relate to them. Will we let them get close? Will we choose to join with them or not? And some are straight-edged. Some people are very straight-edged, you notice. And some are really colourful. And some are, well, they look wonky, but they actually fit if they're in the right place. And others are completely monochrome. But together they make the right picture and they fit together. And we have got to find grace to model to a desperately hurting world. How can Christians be different but love one another? An alternative way of being human in community that is really connected and not pretending we're all the same. I'm deeply suspicious of churches that look like they're cloning. I mean, obviously, if you were almost more like me, I mean, how terrible. If we were all an ear, Paul says, this is not a good body. We want our diversity, but be truthful, that will also be complicated and at times irritating. But that's the calling on our lives, to be a jigsaw that tessellates well, a body that functions. And then in Ephesians 4, verse 16, this is where I just want to turn now. The whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament as each part does its work. Ephesians 4, 16. How many of you are going to be having roast chicken for lunch? Oh, there's a few then. How many of you like roast chicken? This is not on offer, by the way. I've just don't get your hopes up. I mean, I love roast chicken, but I don't like the supporting ligaments. That is what I call gristle. Ligaments or tendons, we don't really like them. So this is not really a jigsaw image, it's about a body. So in a healthy body, or indeed in an unhealthy body, ligaments join bone to bone, and tendons join muscle to bone. And in a healthy body, you even forget they're there. You become really aware of them when they're not working very well. Show of hands, who's got a painful ligament or tendon right now? Anyone? That's about a fifth of the people here. Now, some people, and there's a few people I know and love dearly, family members, who've got lax joints. I used to go to school with a guy, and he said he was double-jointed. There's no such thing. It's actually poor connective tissue. Doesn't sound so good that way. But he could put his thumb right down on his arm, and I thought, wow, that's so cool. I now realize it is not cool. It's a thing. Didn't choose it. It just, that's how his body works. But it increases the chance of dislocation or injury. If we have loose joints, it actually usually results in pain. Now think of that, we're the body of Christ, and what Paul says is we're held together by every supporting ligament. And I don't want to find a ligament on my plate, but I do need it in my joints. And I just want us to spend a little time thinking about ligaments. Because dislocations and sprains can actually be more painful than fractures. It can really hurt and cause ongoing problems. The faster you're running, the stronger the exercise, the more functional, the greater strength you need in your ligaments. If you're really running, your arms could fly off at any moment. The centrifugal force or something's going to drive it away from the body. And the ligaments hold your bones together so you don't go in different directions. The faster and busier a church is, or a family, or a school, or any organization, the more you need supporting ligaments to hold in place. Not to cramp the style, but just to stop disintegration. And we have to be, I believe, really intentional in a busy church to stay connected. So I want to offer a few concrete examples of irritating connective tissue, but actually it's essential. It's the good stuff that will keep us together. What keeps us together? Well, from the top of my head, I thought of life groups. Again, you may not choose the people in your life group, but if you're in a group, the more you get, you know, there's the different stages in groups. You go from forming to storming when you find out what they're really like, and then norming as you try and work out how we will work, and then performing. So there's a sort of life cycle, and it's to do with getting greater connection and being able to work together well. A few weeks ago, we had the big eat. I was delighted because someone else cooked for me. And that's usually a better way of doing it. And I ate with people I've never eaten with before. And over the course of that meal, I found out things. It was just fun. It was a little bit more connective tissue between. And there were over 75 of us who did that as a process. I'm so glad we're going to try and do this perhaps once a term or see how it goes. But the joy is meeting with people you don't know, because that will draw us closer together as a body. Brian, twice a year perhaps, calls us together and saying, we're having a working party for cutting grass and chopping trees and fun things outside. And I mean, I love chopping trees in an environmentally sustainable way. But, you know, you feel you're a hunter-gatherer. But the fun bit is really the other people you're working with, and you get to know people. When you're on a common task, that's a good thing to do. In a way, it's why I send out on Friday an email. I started doing that during the pandemic because none of us were connected. And I thought, how are we going to do this of sharing life and faith together? And then I've just kept doing it because I thought it was useful. Because every week there are people who don't make it, but how will they know what's going on? And there are people who struggle to get to church but can feel connected. It's quite an easy thing to do. But what about if you notice someone who you know is struggling and you just pick up the phone, give them a call, or send a text or a message and say, I'm thinking of you. They feel reconnected just a little bit. Or giving frail people a lift to church. it's a beautiful thing when people do that. I've many times phoned up someone saying, would you like to be offered a lift now because your health circumstances have changed? Would you like a lift? The one response that always comes back is, well, I don't want to be any bother. I don't want to be a bother. And so I obviously say, well, you are a bother. I don't think we will do it, actually. No, of course, I already know someone who's really happy to do that, because bothering means it's not just turning up to this building on a Sunday. We're connected more than that simple transaction. We are a body, so of course it's not a bother to pick you up, because we want you to be sharing as part of the body. When my parents were both in their 90s and were not at all well, they just couldn't have made it to church. There was a lady called Margaret in their church, quite a simple soul in some ways. But every week for several years, she wrote them a card. And she included the news sheet of what was happening that week and some of the notices. And she gave a little summary of what she thought the sermon was about. I don't think it bore any relation to what the vicar thought he was talking about. But it was it was a remarkable thing, because it was so easy, and yet it's such a rare thing to do, because it was so kind. And it was telling my parents, it's no bother. I want you to know we still value you. And I was pleased, because I was over here, my parents were in Guernsey, there was a limit to what I could do, and my dad had given scores of lifts over 50 years to other people, and I thought, well, it's a bit of a shame if no one does bother, but it turned out someone bothered to remind them, you are part of the body of Christ. So what have we thought about this? Well, you might have thought about anything, I don't know. Here's what I've been thinking about. Each member belongs to all the others. There's an accountability and responsibility. God has placed the parts in the body just as he wants them to be. May not be our choice, but that's how it is. And we choose to relate or not. I hope we do. And each part does its work. It matters that we show up for one another, that the glory of God may be revealed, because we hold a unique part and we're held together by supporting ligaments. I wonder if you feel, actually, yeah, I want to be a better ligament. I've got a calling to be irritating connective tissue and hold on to people who are trying to escape, and to search for missing pieces. I mean, that's my heart, that people don't go missing. So the body of Christ, working in harmony. Let's just pause and listen to the Holy Spirit. Out of all the words, actually, it's probably not words that will make a difference to other people, but our lives. And probably not what we do on a Sunday, but what we do midweek that will really connect. So, Lord, we don't want to be guilted into something, but we do want to respond to what your word clearly says, that we do have a responsibility to each other, a responsibility to find out what part we play in the body, and that we all matter, but also we have a part to play in helping other people know that they matter as well. Lord, help us in this journey. Thank you that we are different. And even though that's painful and hard work at times, it's also a beautiful thing when a body is seen in glory. Lord, we want your body to be beautiful around the whole world. But we pray for our own area, our corner of the vineyard, where we do have a responsibility. Help us to respond well to you and to each other, to know your calling on our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. And when you drop people into our minds, may we do what you're calling us to do, of knowing what that looks like, to overcome our fears by reaching out and expressing the love of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your life and ministry was so full of reaching out in love. Costly as it was, we thank you. And we pray that we may share that family image, the DNA. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.